हरिः ॐ सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So now Brahma, text 19. Brahma, appearing from the lotus, is of two types. Hiranyagarbha, who is subtle and appears for his own enjoyment, and Vairaja, who is gross and appears for creating the universe. Footnote 27. These are apparently different jivas who exist simultaneously. Vishwanath Chakravarti, in his commentary on Canto 3 of Bhagavatam, explains there are three forms of Brahma. Hiranyagarbha, Viraja, who is the total of the elements as they exist in the stem of the lotus, and the four-headed Brahma. Okay. The Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva just describe are actually forms of Vishnu. Now they will each be described in detail with precise explanation. Since the Lord as Brahma has already been described, now the Jiva as Brahma is described. Hiranyagarbha has a subtle body, Sukshma, made of Mahatattva. The Supreme Lord can see him, but the Devas and others cannot. Vairaja has a body which is gross, made of the aggregate of all the elements. He has four heads, eight eyes, and eight arms for creation, is visible to the Devas, and gives them benedictions. Hiranyagarbha's purpose is enjoyment, and Viraja's purpose is creation of the universe.
What's the purpose of Hiranyagarbha, except for enjoyment? Why to be Brahma?
I mean, because you're dealing here, from what I can see, with the primary and secondary creation, because the Mahat is the primary. So if he's made of Mahatattva, as opposed to the gross elements, and that would mean he would have to be, that's what your primary creation is. So here he's describing this as the Lord.
Blueprint?
Yes, blueprint. Because the stem of the lotus is also known as Viraja. Brahma, remember in Manu, Brahma says he's born from Viraja. Right. He says he's half male, half female. He's born from him. So means he's born from the Lord, but that particular aspect of the Lord. So the subtle, in other words, the subtle form of Brahma, he's born from that. Because the subtle form, because Brahma does the creation. So the subtle form would mean, the subtle form would be what we were saying, the blueprint of the primary creation, where everything is, all the aspects of what it can be there in the creation is there. Does that make sense? So that's the Lord himself. But then, from that, then you get the four-headed. Means, well, because here we find that he's going to explain that Viraja generally has four heads also. Like that. Is this making any sense at all? See, because Hiranyagarbha goes back to Mahavishnu. Jai Ho. Jai Ta. Also welcome. Jai Ta. Here we're discussing the various kinds of Brahma now. Seems that there are three forms of Brahma. So Hiranyagarbha, from what I understand, is that is Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu, then because with Vishnu, there the right side is Shiva, the left side is Brahma, right? So Hiranyagarbha. So this principle of the creative nature, right? Because that's what makes the difference between the Purusha avatars and the Vaikuntha deities. Is Vaikuntha, the mood is I am God. Right, so in your God and your associates, there is no beginning, there is no middle, there is no end. Right, it's all eternal. Does that make sense? So, or you could say there's only middle, there's no beginning and end. But, you know, the point. So, but with the Purusha avatars, then the mood is that they're God, but I am the creator, the maintainer, and destroyer. So the creative element is Hiranyagarbha, the destruction element, that's Sadashiva. Right, and the maintenance element, that's Vishnu himself. So it's all him, but these are different moods. So Hiranyagarbha is the mood of I'm the creator. Then that comes into when he glances, then so how do you say? Yes. So now you have, because he's also brought out some interesting point here about the Antaryami, right? The super soul. So then you have Mahavishnu, super soul of the Pradhan, right? Means of the total material energy. Then Garbhadaksha Vishnu is the Antaryami of the Mahatattva, the universe. Right, and then Kirudaksha Vishnu is the Antaryami in each living entity. Right, so you get that aspect. So here's he's maintaining, but now who's creating? Then you're also going to get these three. So Hiranyagarbha is the creator. Right, then you're going to have Vairaja as the creative element on the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu level, and then you're going to have the one on the Kirudakshaya Vishnu level, the four-headed Brahma. Hmm. Does that start to make sense? Yeah. Right. In other words, it means we generally have enough problems just trying to figure out, you know, Brahma's there, then there's before Mahavishnu, then in between there's the Mahat. But there's all these elements, just like we were saying before, is that all the aspects, there's always that masculine, feminine aspect, element. And so within the material, you're always going to have creation, maintenance, and destruction. Does that make sense? So each one has its own aspect. In other words, Mahavishnu is, being Sankarshan, is the existence. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the attraction, right? Why we're attracted to the universe. Kirudakshaya Vishnu, being Aniruddha, that is, we have a goal. We want something, right? So why would you, what does Super Soul do? You want something. Right, so he then arranges it. Does that make sense? Vasudevi comes and performs his pastimes. Right, because as we said, these other aspects are all there, then Vasudevi is performing his pastimes. Because you have the situation. Right, does that make sense? You have the situation, you have all the elements that are required to perform an activity. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you're sitting there in your house and you think it'd be nice to have some friends over. It's not that you're sitting there on the couch, reach over and get your phone, call, tell them to come up. Right? No. You may call, but you first made sure that you can arrange everything. You know, the place is set up, the pillows are put back where they belong on the couch. You know, everything's set up and this and that. Things that aren't supposed to be there are moved. You know, possibly, you know, something to eat. You know, all these different things. Some cleaning is going on. Does that make sense? You know, yeah. I guess we'll stop here. Otherwise, too much may be revealed. Okay. I was going to get into all those things that you wanted to get done. But here's an excuse to get them done, but they don't actually have to be done now.
We'll stop?
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
So, does that make sense? That's that middle aspect where he's connected with Garbhodaksha Vishnu.
So it's still local, not believing in entity.
No. It's still the Lord. But this is the creative element of the Purusha Avatar. Right? Because the Purusha Avatar has creation, maintenance, and destruction. Does that make sense? So, there's always going to be those three. Now you're going to see Brahma with four heads as we know him. And you're going to see Rudra as we know him, as a Devata. And see Paramatma. That's at that third level. But at that second level, you know, second meaning Garbhodaksha Vishnu, generally most don't see him. When the demigods go to see Vishnu, they go to Dhruva Loka, the Swetadweep ocean, and sit on the bank of the ocean, and Brahma in his meditation contacts the Lord. And occasionally, he himself appears.
That's
Kirudaksha. So you generally never hear of anybody going and spending time with Garbhodaksha Vishnu. Like that. But you do see pictures of, you know, Narada and others will be Mako, his associates. But the Devatas and all that, it doesn't seem that it's so much that they are dealing. Since they're inside the lotus anyway, it's hard, I guess they don't get out. They don't get out much. So then this Vairaja then is that creative element with Garbhodaksha Vishnu. Right? So then there must be also the destructive element. Right? But that has, maybe that will come up in the next discussion, because we haven't gotten to Shiva yet. Does that make sense? So we discussed the three Vishnu, the Purusha avatars. So now we're discussing the Brahma, so it seems that there's the same three. Right? So the last one, who we see, he's the Jiva. The first two are the Lord himself. Right? It seems with Mahavishnu, it's just a mood. There's no separate form. The Garbhodaksha Vishnu, then it seems to be a little bit beyond. Yes? No? Kind of. Yes?
Sorry if this is a stupid question, but is it a Garbhodaksha Vishnu that breathes out the universe?
Mahavishnu, Kirudaksha, I mean Karanadaksha Vishnu.
Okay, so if he's breathing out universes, then how is it that Lord Brahma is creating? What's Lord Brahma creating?
That's inside the universe.
Also,
so you have three stages. Mahavishnu breathes and the universes are manifest. Then he enters the universe as Garbhodaksha Vishnu. Then on top of the lotus, then you get Brahma who does the creation.
In each of the universes?
Each of the universes. The expanse in each universe is Garbhodaksha Vishnu. In each universe you have their Brahma. Okay. The Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva just described are actually forms of Vishnu. Now they will each be described in detail with a precise explanation. Since the Lord is Brahma has already been described, now the Jiva is Brahman is described. Hiranyagarbha has a subtle body, Shukshma, made of Mahatattva. The Supreme Lord can see him, but the Devatas and others cannot. Vairaja has a body which is gross, made of the aggregate of all elements. He has four hands, eight eyes, eight arms for creation, is visible to Devata, and gives them benedictions. Hiranyagarbha's purpose is enjoyment, and Vairaja's purpose, creation of the universe. Okay, so then here we are only describing two then.
Yeah. Vishwanath mentions the three.
He mentions the three.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got those two, so I was using the Vairajas.
So what's Vairaja here?
So Vairaja here appears to be the Brahma that we know.
The third one, yeah.
Because he's born of Viraj, which is the universal form. Because the universal form is the lotus. So Brahma is born of that. That's where I was getting the... I was...
Okay.
Viraja generally has four heads and carries out creation and other works. Sometimes Vishnu becomes Brahma and carries out creation himself. Sargadi indicates that besides creation, Vairaja is involved in preaching the Vedas. Four-headed Brahma is born for preaching the Vedas, Kurma Purana. Padma Purana says, sometimes a jiva becomes Brahma in a Mahakalpa by intense worship. Sometimes Garbhadakshai Vishnu becomes Brahma in that planet. This verse is a proof for the two types of four-headed Brahma. Mahavishnu here refers to Garbhadakshai Vishnu. The jiva who is supposed to become Brahma also sometimes resides in the same planet when the Lord becomes Brahma during a Mahakalpa, since he is not liberated yet, but only after 100 years. Thus it is said, those who hold powers in this world as controllers remain in this world until their tenure has expired. Vedanta Sutras 3.3.3.3. Text 22. The Vairaja Brahma remains enjoying, merged into Vishnu when Vishnu becomes the creator, Brahma, during that Mahakalpa. In different kalpas, Brahma of either type is sometimes the jiva and sometimes the Lord. The Vairaja, four-headed Brahma, enters into Vishnu who carries out the creation. It is understood that the Hiranyagarbha form would be subject to the same conditions. Because of being checked from carrying out the creation by Vishnu, he experiences the wealth of enjoyment offered by the devatas when he is merged in Vishnu. By taking away Brahma's work, but not his enjoyment, Vishnu shows his great generosity. The last line sums up the two types.
Enjoyment.
Enjoyment, we understand.
enjoy.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay.
Does that mean that when he goes into Vishnu, then he retains a form and there's activity?
It appears, or at least there's experience. He experiences the wealth of enjoyment. So whether it's actually performing the activity or whether it's just getting that experience. That it's not. I was thinking, say maybe the next one is called Omega or something. No, there's just another aspect.
Why would the Lord?
Because sometimes he takes up the creation.
It's because Brahma is unqualified. Usually we say. If he's
generally.
Why would he sit there and enjoy?
Okay, that's funny.
How do you get the emotion?
Huh?
He doesn't want to get the emotion. Vishnu doesn't want to demote him. So.
Yeah. Say it's very quick. Okay. Okay, let's do one thing. Let's go to the next, because there's two more verses, and then we'll go back. Brahma is called an avatar in the scriptures because the Lord himself takes the role of Brahma sometimes. Other acharyas explains that Brahma is called an avatara because of the complete merging of the Lord's power with Brahma so that he can create the universe. Other acharyas explain that Brahma is avatara because he is an avesha avatara. This verse describes various opinions on calling Brahma an avatara. He is called avatara when Garbhadaksha takes up the role of creation. This is taking the primary meaning of avatar. Some acharyas say that Brahma is called an avatara because he is mixed with the Lord, being completely pervaded by the Lord. The root of samasti is as meaning to pervade. The prefix sham, all, and the ending ti, to make a feminine noun of action, are added to make the words samasti, reaching everywhere. Thus, it means that Brahma is fully pervaded by the Lord who has the intelligence to carry out creation. It is like the merging of milk and water. Thus, Brahma is called an avatara because of such intimate mixing with the Lord. Some say that he is avatara because he is an avesha avatara, The Lord carries out the creation by entering into Brahma like the sun's rays, but not present to the same extent as in the previous explanation, footnote 28. The first explanation can be termed Bhagavat Avesha, and the second explanation can be termed Shakya Avesha. Since Brahma is actually a jiva in these two cases, this is a secondary use of the word avatar. Like, his avatar is generally meaning the Lord, so they're showing how the Lord has descended, that Garbhodaksha Vishnu himself is the Brahma, so he performs the activity. So that's one. The other is that the potency of Krishna is pervading Brahma to such an extent that whatever is that full potency to create then is in his person. So then you have that kind of flavor. Then other is that looking at it from the other aspect, that he's a jiva, and then he's empowered by the Lord. Does this make sense? One is that the Lord is his in that form of creator is pervading Brahma so he can do that creation. The other is you're looking at it from the jiva side, that he's a jiva that's been empowered. Right? So one, you're looking at more the Bhagavat aspect. The other, you're looking at the Avesha aspect. Text 24. Thus Brahma Samhita says, I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, who becomes Brahma, the creator of the universe, by bestowing his powers to that jiva. Just as the sun displays a small portion of its power of heat and light in all the sun's stones which represent it. Brahma Samhita 549. This is an example of Brahma as an Avesha avatar, just as the sun reveals its power to some degree in a group of sunstones, producing in them some light and burning power. In the universe, Govinda sometimes bestowing his powers to some very pure jiva, who becomes Brahma. That Brahma performs a secondary creation within the universe. One should see the explanation of Rudra for more elaborate explanation. And after this, then the next thesis. Text 25. The birth of Brahma takes place from the lotus growing from the navel of Garbhodakshayi. Sometimes it is described that he appears from the Garbhodak ocean, water, from light or from air. Additional information about Brahma's birth is given in this verse. According to the will of the Lord, Brahma may appear from different sources such as water, light, or air. So in each time there's creation, then there's some varieties there. Just like in this creation, then Krishna came as Swayam Krishna, and playing his flute initiated Brahma. So that's the Krishna, his deity. So then he created the universe with the Gopal mantra. Right? But in another creation, then he comes as Nrisingadev. And within the Nrisinga Maha Mantra, then Brahma does the creation. So you get variety.
The creation looks the same.
Basically, yes. But I think the other one will have more teeth. Everybody all bigger teeth or something.
This variety. Yeah.
And then that means, because they all have bigger teeth, and that means in that universe there'll be more opportunities for the dentists and stuff like that. More teeth. More of the silver stars. I mean, gold stars in the teeth. Okay. So, didn't give something more technical there. Let's see if something comes up. Acharya said something he mentioned with Rudra. Okay, text 26. Rudra has 11 expansions and 8 types of forms. Generally, these have 5 heads, 3 eyes, and 10 arms each. From detailed statements, it is also known that there are 2 types of Shiva or Rudra. It has already been stated in that the Lord himself takes the form of Rudra, 29. This was explained in the commentary to verse 18. Verse 18 was. Verse Oh, okay. This is about the guna avatars. Okay. The present verse describes his form. According to Mahabharata, the 11 forms are Aja, Ahirbhudnya, Virupaksha, Raivata, Hara, Bahurupa, Triambaka, Savitra, Jayanta, Pinaka, and Aparajita. Mahabharata 12:201-18. According to Yadava Kosha, the 8 forms of Shiva are earth, water, fire, air, ether, the sun, the moon, and the performer of sacrifice. Footnote 30. This means that Shiva is the presiding deity of these items. The word generally is used because it is seen that there's also a one-headed Rudra in the water. 31. Lord Rudra is said to generally have 5 faces because sometimes, as is the appearance in the watery shell covering the universe, he is seen with only one. Yes? No?
We don't know.
You don't know.
We didn't see that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Text 27. Sometimes a special jiva takes the role of Shiva in a matter similar to Brahma. Shiva should be considered like Sesha with 2 forms, since Shiva is also glorified as an Amsha, Vishnu. Because Sesha, there appears that there's the jiva form of Sesha, who is holding up the plants. That's what job he does. But otherwise, the Sesha that Vishnu lays on, that's Vishnu Tattva. But there's the jiva who takes on this helping in the maintenance of the universe. So like that, then there seems to be that jivas can also sometimes do these things.
But we know that Rudra is Shiva in his own category.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter?
No, but it would just mean that then sometimes there's a jiva who takes on that. You know, so if you're going to destroy things, it's not rocket science there. This verse describes a jiva taking the role of Shiva. The Vedas say, I make whomever I desire into Shiva. I make whomever I desire into Brahma or a sage. Rig Veda 10:125.05.2. Okay. Narayana desired to create progeny. From Narayana, Brahma was born. From Narayana, Rudra was born. From Narayana, Prajapati was born. From Narayana, Indra was born. From Narayana, the 8 Vasus were born. From Narayana, the 11 Rudras were born. From Narayana, the 12 Adityas were born. Narayana Upanishad. In the beginning, only Narayana existed and not Brahma or Shiva. From his forehead arose Shiva with 3 eyes, holding a trident. He was endowed with beauty, truth, celibacy, austerity, and renunciation. Maha Upanishad. I create Brahma and Shiva also. They, being bewildered by my Maya, do not know me. Moksha Dharma. These quotations illustrate that a jiva takes birth as Shiva. Their death is also described. Brahma, Shiva, the sun, the moon, Indra, and other devatas accept the power of Vishnu. However, when work in the universe is finished, they become bereft of powers, and in that state they all die. Vishnu Dharma. Similarly, when Shruti says only Narayan existed, it indicates that previous Shivas have disappeared. Thus it is true that Shiva is also a jiva. Otherwise the scriptures would be contradicted. The example of Brahma is also given to illustrate a jiva's taking the role of Shiva. But Shiva is like Sesha, who has 2 forms. The Sesha who acts as the bed of Vishnu is the Supreme Lord. The form of Sesha who holds up the universe on his hoods is the jiva. This will be made clear elsewhere. This one form of Shiva is a jiva and another is a swamsa form, because the scriptures declare it so. So you're getting both these aspects. So it appears that in here, that as we were discussing before, in line with, was it Vishwanath who was making the commentary? Yeah, Vishnu. That the forms of Brahma and Shiva outside the universe with Mahavishnu aren't what is being discussed, because that's just the mood the Lord Himself in these different moods. But within the universe, then you get two forms: the jiva form that you can see, and the subtle form that is not necessarily visible. Yes.
So then, according to that statement, position of jiva is pretty clear, because people can't figure it out. Is it jiva or no jiva?
Yes, because the point is he can be both.
Yeah.
The jiva, depending upon his qualifications, because if there's no qualifications, the Lord performs the activity. The qualifications, then the jiva can perform the activity. So it appears that this subtle form of the creation that also can be done by a jiva, though generally it doesn't seem that it's necessarily. Is that what was pointing out, or is it saying that when the Lord performs it, he absorbs viraja into himself?
I'm not sure.
Means the bold is Rupa Goswami, the not bold, that's Baladev. So any of these explanations, these are all Baladevs. Okay, and then two types. Okay, well that's Shiva. So the pin called Brahman avatar. So okay, how much more is there of Shiva? Okay, let's finish that and then we'll go back. Okay. Text 28, Shiva is without a touch of the material gunas, since he is the Lord. However, the ignorant perceive him among the guna avatars to be contaminated by tamoguna. In this matter, he is described in the 10th canto. Lord Shiva is always united with his personal energy, the material nature, manifesting himself in three features in response to the entreaties of nature's three modes. He thus embodies the threefold principle of material ego in goodness, passion, and ignorance. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.3. Because the modes then do everything. He is the ego, the principle, and so then the ego in the three modes. So then the ego is the mind, the ego is the intelligence, the ego is the body. So, verse 17, describe the Lord taking the roles of Shiva and Brahma.
Yes.
Mm.
Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, describes Shiva as the... not as a jiva. This particular verse.
No. Because here it's with his energy. So the jiva is only performing functions of. Does that make sense? It's just like, let's say there's some work that you do yourself. You always just do that work. No one else does that. Because you want it done in a particular way, and you can do it in that way. Now let's say there's somebody who somehow or another is very, very competent, and you can trust that they'll do a good job at it. You might let them do it. But it's only because they're qualified. It's not that you require. Does that make sense? So therefore, the Lord does these things himself. If there's a jiva that's qualified, then they do it. But it doesn't mean that they take your position. You know what I'm saying? They only do that function. You know what I'm saying? So Shiva, meaning his wife is Parvati, and you know he takes care of her and everything, that the jiva won't be doing. But the elements of whatever is the duties that the 11 Rudras do, then, you know, because they take care of directions, they take care of destruction, they take care of so many things. So those offices then the jiva could do. But it's not that you know, he'll hang out with Parvati and then the original Shiva kind of sits on the side there. And you understand?
Well, Vishnu won't become Shiva. Because that's what I
understand. There's no need, because Shiva is already there. But if a jiva has the qualification, he may take up the office. Like that. But so when we get back to Mahavishnu, then Mahavishnu and Shiva are the same.
That's
Sada Shiva. Yes, that's Sada Shiva. So within the universe, we're only talking about two levels. The subtle level, the gross level.
Then subtle level would be Shiva himself, and the gross would be the Jiva? Or
from what I can understand, from what I understand from here.
So we don't touch Mahavishnu.
No, because that's an explanation outside the universe, before the creation started, like that. So it appears that once one comes inside the universe, then they're not talking about before. If they talk about Mahavishnu, they talk about Mahavishnu at that time. And then when they come into the universe, then you can talk about these two levels. But it's not necessarily, with Shiva, it's not that there needs to be. So generally speaking, Shiva is always performing the activities. But it appears if there's a qualified Jiva, then they take that up. Or if they do, they take up only those offices, but the emphasis is always on the Shiva himself. Right? But with the Jiva, then generally it's, if there's a qualified Jiva, they do it. But if not, then Krishna does it himself. But the point is the creation's carried out by Krishna. But it's just whether he does it himself or whether he's empowering somebody. Okay. Does that make sense? So slight difference in the flavor. But in any case, those two aspects of that Brahma and that Shiva, then when the time of duties has expired, that potency is removed, then they die. So then from that, you can also take from the obvious point of view that in the beginning there was only Vishnu, and then these came. And then after that, they'll only be Vishnu, because they'll die. Right? Because in here, they're not talking about Mahavishnu. Does that make sense? Because it's beyond. So for most of the philosophies, then they're not going to handle beyond. As we see, most go up to Prakriti, and that's it. So they never actually get to Mahavishnu. Yes?
So, could we say, is the Lord doing that from the pastimes of his pastimes, or is he trying to experience them?
No, he doesn't have to experience, because the point of the creation, that you can do it himself. It's just, but that's pastimes anyway. It's just if there's somebody qualified, then they do it.
But why wouldn't you just arrange for somebody qualified if you can't do anything?
No, but the point is that the Jiva has to qualify. You know what I'm saying? What's the point of him arranging it? That's what you do. But your energy, not energetic. Does that make sense? Because that's where these kind of visions end. Is because from what is common between the energy and energetic, then we can give examples. And we can relate that when it goes into an area where it's just energetic, not energy, then that's where, that's the end of our being able to appreciate it. Right? We know there's something beyond, but we are not going to be able to appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's just like this. If, let's say, the grandparent is there with the grandchild, and they're doing something simple, right? And that the grandchild could take part in. Now, if they're taking part, then they would take part. And when they're too distracted by other things, they wouldn't take part. But now, if we just follow the same logic, then the point was made, but then why doesn't the grandparent, you know, make a grandchild that is qualified so that they always have someone to do, you understand? You lose the whole rasa and the whole point of the Lord and the living entity. So it's a matter if they're qualified, they do. If they don't, then he does it.
Is that the only time that happens? Or?
Only time, which happens?
Like, is that the only post that happens with?
All the demigods are generally always jivas, but if someone's not qualified, because there's 33 million of them, if someone's not qualified, then the Lord takes that position himself. Like the example given of Yajna. Then that incarnation of Vishnu took the position of Indra, because there was no one. Is that? In other words, he's responsible for the running of the universe. And so if there's jivas to take the post, then they do all that. And if there's not, he does it himself.
What about when the demigods do something silly? Does that make them unqualified? Or is that for the purpose of the pastimes as well?
No. Being in the material world already means silly. It's just a matter of how silly. Workable silly, not so workable silly, really outrageously unworkable silly.
So that really outrageously unworkable silly, that's unqualified. That's when the Lord takes that place.
No, it just means that there's no one there.
Okay.
They're all down here, you know, at the, you know, how you say, you know, the Stones concert or something. So therefore, then there's no one to be the demigod, right? But if there's people who are pious enough to get elevated in that, and then they take up the position. In other words, those situated in the mode of goodness can take up the position of the demigod. If there's no one with that specific qualification, the Lord does it himself. Right? Verse 17 described the Lord taking the roles of Shiva and Brahma. Because that Shiva is a form of the Purusha, he is certainly without material gunas. The word praya generally is used to indicate that by his own will he is covered by tamaguna, and he appears to be contaminated. Among the guna avatars, he thus appears to be transformed by those who are ignorant, but actually is not transformed or contaminated at all. This verse gives proof of his appearing to be covered by tamaguna. Shiva is always endowed with the gunas in equilibrium, which are accepted by his will. And when the gunas become agitated, he becomes connected with the three gunas and becomes covered from far off by the gunas of Prakriti, Samvrita. It is well known that Shiva is related to tamaguna, but why does it say that he associates with all three gunas? This is because the three gunas are mixed together. The sattva and rajas are present along with the tamaguna. Should be understood that this verse describes the perceptions of common people only. So in other words, goodness is always passion and ignorance. With passion is always goodness and ignorance. With ignorance is always goodness and passion. So there's never, so then mixed with the gunas, then it's there. And, yes?
Where it mentions Shiva is always endowed with the gunas in equilibrium, is that referring to Prada?
I would expect that that means because it's his wife, so then therefore it's his energy.
Yes.
So then it's in perfect balance. But then when they become here, what is it? What
when
was the term?
Agitated.
Yeah, when they become agitated. So when you get Mahat, then he takes on those, because before that there's no need of these other three aspects of false ego, like that. So, because he is the lord of the false ego, because that Purusha Bhav, he is Purusha, and his material energy is his wife. So him enjoying material energy is his prerogative. It's but the living entities take this on in a false way. So therefore then the egos in the modes of nature, which create therefore the what we see, and what we're working with here, the body, the mind, the words, that's the false ego. So that's an element of Shiva. Is that? Okay. So, and then he takes on these qualities of the modes. But it's, what did it mention? By his will, he becomes connected and covered from far off. So it's not that he actually becomes controlled, but he just moves with it, just like Krishna is not controlled by his wives. But out of that affection, that interaction, he appears that he is. So then Shiva, then because his wife is now doing creation, she's doing all these things, the mode, it appears that he becomes covered by these.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Text 29. I worship... No,
what by Gudras, 11 Gudras.
Yes.
Are they always genius?
That it doesn't necessarily point out. There specifically. Did it point out that they were specifically jivas?
I think it comes up.
11 expansions. But there's two types of Shiva Rudra. So there must be, even in these, the 11, there must be the subtler form. You know, see, because when it mentions that the Lord, the Purusha avatar, he's Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, in the creation, what's described in Purusha Shukta, we'll get into that in the second canto, then he's creating everything, and he's doing that with his associates. But this is before creation. So there must be that the subtle form of all these sages and saints and everybody that are already there. And then with Vairaja Brahma, then there's the external manifestation, gross manifestation that we can see. Right? Then we know, okay, now things have been created. But before that, it's a subtle form. But the Lord's there with his associates. So there's a whole lot more going on. Like Mahavishnu is there, lying in the causal ocean, breathing out, breathing in, the universe is glancing and all this. But when Krishna and Arjuna go and visit him, you know, then Mahavishnu comes out onto the steps of his palace to greet them, and takes him inside, gives him a seat, there's all facilities and all that. So there's all these different things are going on at once. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like I say, yeah, oh, who's that? You know, oh, that's Mr. or something like that. Well, what does he do? You know? That now do you expect to hear, oh, you know, he's very nice, you know, he's a good family man, he's with his wife and kids, and this and that. Or you want to hear, oh, he's a doctor, he's a lawyer, you understand? So that's generally the thing. So when you talk about Mahavishnu, we talk about that aspect. But it's not that the other aspect's not there, but it's we can connect those together, let alone already we're having enough trouble with one of everybody, then you throw in this two here, you know? Then does that make sense?
Yes,
but in these descriptions, it seems that what they've described Mahavishnu, the ones they've described the Vishnus, then when they come into Brahma and Shiva, they're describing within the universe. Something like that.
And also, sometimes we say, it is said that Shiva is always auspicious and that Rudra is the one who does the destruction of the universe. Isn't it?
But still, it's you know.
Somebody else or some different.
No. It's just that aspect. Because the point is anything that's created must be destroyed. So then it's just part of the cycle. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like autumn isn't necessarily considered inauspicious. You know, it looks very nice, it's beautiful, it has a particular mood, warmth and everything like that. But it just means kind of after that there's not going to be a whole lot left. You know, and then, you know, then the spring, and, you know, so like that. Okay. 29. Okay. I worship Supreme Lord Govinda, who becomes the form of Shiva, who is non-different from Govinda, but who is also different because of contact with transformations of Prakriti, just as milk becomes yogurt, which can be said to be non-different from its cause. Brahma Samhita 5.45. This verse shows that Shiva, being the Lord, is beyond the gunas, although he appears to have become transformed by the gunas. Milk gives rise to yogurt by contact with a particular agent, but the yogurt is still non-different from its cause, the milk. Similarly, Govinda becomes Shiva by accepting a relation with Tamaguna by his own will. But Govinda and Shiva are non-different because the transformation is superficial or apparent. It does not affect Govinda's sarup. Text 30. Sometimes Rudra arises from the forehead of Brahma, and sometimes he is born from the forehead of Vishnu. Kalagni, Rudra appears from Shankarshan at the end of the Kalpa. This verse describes the places of Shiva's appearance. Satapata Brahmana says that Shiva arises from the forehead of Brahma and Maha Upanishad. and some Puranas state the Shiva arises from Vishnu's forehead. These are descriptions from different kalpas. Kalagni Rudra is described in the Bhagavatam. Beginning from Patala Loka, a fire grows, emanating from the mouth of Lord Sangarsana. Its flames shooting upwards, driven by great winds, it scorches everything in all directions. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.10. Okay. Does that make sense? So in other words, the aspect of Sankarshan, since he's the one that also establishes, he's the existence, so if the existence is not going to be there, it's natural Sankarshan's going to be involved. And Shiva's expansion of Sankarshan. Right? The form called Sadashiva is devoid of any trace of tamas. He is directly Narayana, the Vilasa or Swamsa of Swayam Rupa Krishna, and is the cause of all causes. That form is described as dwelling on Shiva Loka, Vaikuntha, in the Vayu Purana and other scriptures. Krishna is the Swayam Rupa, and Narayana and other forms are Vilas and Swamsa forms. Some Jivas are Avesh forms. From the Swamsa form of Garbhodakshay come Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. These are forms of Ishwar, and sometimes Brahma and Shiva are Jivas. This is approved by the scriptures. But someone may object as follows. Actually, this is not quite accurate. According to the scriptures, Sadashiva is the root form of all others. He expands into the form of Narayan and others. Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva arise from him. A more authoritative statement coming from the Shruti, the Kaivalya Upanishad, is as follows. By meditating on the Supreme Lord Shiva with three eyes and blue throat, accompanied by his consort Uma, who is inconceivable, invisible, peaceful, with countless forms, eternal, without beginning, middle, or end, the one powerful entity composed of knowledge and bliss, the astonishing person with no form, the sage attains the original source, beyond the material realm. He is Brahma. He is Shiva. He is Indra. He is the indestructible, the supreme independent. He is Vishnu, Prana, Kalagni, and the moon. He is all beings who have appeared in the past and who will appear in the future. Knowing him, one surpasses death. There is no other path for liberation. The present verse answers this objection. The form called Sadashiva, who is without a trace of Tamaguna, who is the cause of all causes, is the Narayana Vilas form of Swayam Rupa Krishna. In the Taittiriya Upanishad, the names Narayana, Achyuta, and Shiva are used to indicate only one person. When the Kaivalya Upanishad mentions Uma, that refers to Kirti, a consort of Narayana. Trilochana means, so in other words, it mentions you have all the consorts of Narayana. So the Shakti, who is, what did it say, Kirti, that's the form of Uma on the level of Sadashiva. Right. Then that will expand, that will become the Prakriti element. Trilochana means one who sees all three divisions of time. Nilakanta means he whose throat is decorated with a sapphire ornament. This must be accepted as the meaning, since the context of the verse indicates that the words cannot refer to Shiva. Quoting Vayu Purana 49.153.61, Jiva Goswami in Bhagavad Sandarbha 72 identifies this form and planet of Lord Shiva in the same way, quote, surrounding the mass of all the universal eggs. So that means he's in the transcendental. Yes. Well, it's because everything basically is Brahma-jyoti outside the planet, so it'll be within the Brahma-jyoti. So as we see when Gopakumar goes, then Shiva and his associates are living in the Brahma-jyoti. But then everything is Brahma-jyoti. It's just here it appears to be dark. So this is also Brahman. The sun, the light of the sun, the moon, that is coming from Brahman. That's just a portion of the brightness of Brahman. But there's, you know, it's all. But because we think in location, then we give these places. It'll be mentioned there, but it's not that it doesn't go elsewhere. Text 32. Brahma Samhita speaks of the original Shiva, who is Narayana. Rama, under the control of the Lord, is self-manifesting and dear to the Lord. The Lord's eternal form, called Shambhu, whose body is pure consciousness and is a portion of the Lord, is a representative of Krishna, or Lingam, and the inferior energy is called the Yoni. Brahma Samhita 5.8. This verse describes Sada Shiva, the Vishnu form, whose consort is Lakshmi, or Rama, who is expansion of Swayam Rupa Krishna. This is understood from saying Adi Shiva. The rest of the verses in this context are: Shambhu develops the desire to see Maya for creating the universes, and Mahatattva, the transformation of Prakriti after being injected with the Jivas, then appears as the seed of the creation. Thus, the living entities, bodies, make their appearance by the portion of Vishnu impregnating Prakriti and are known as her offspring. This powerful Purusha, who is a representative of Krishna, is actually the Supreme Lord. Being Krishna's Amsha, Mahavishnu then appeared with distinct form as the master of all living entities in the universe. Rama Samhita 5.9.10. So depending on what's happening, he's known by the different names. But otherwise, Mahavishnu and Sadashiva are the same. That's why Advaitacharya is known as Mahavishnu or Sadashiva. They're the same person. It's just the mood is different. One is going to interact with Prakriti, one is not. So in other words, when he's going to deal with his energy in this form, then it's Ramadevi. Right.
That's how the Shiva's
concert? It appears what he's saying here. But the thing is that by this it doesn't really matter, because he glanced at whose form of concert is Lakshmi or Rama, a Vishnu form. So this depends upon what means Lakshmi, then you're thinking of the Vishnu aspect. But when you're thinking about the creative aspect, then that mood is Rama. So I guess just as his mood is there, then her mood is there. Yes.
So that Sada Shiva Loka is outside?
Yes.
It's beyond Viraja?
Yes. Yes. It means when Gopu Kumar goes outside of the universe, then that's when you can see Sada Shiva. Mm. And they're all, performing kirtan and like that. Previously in the Brahma Samhita, it was described that Vishnu enjoys with Rama. Who is she? She is subservient to Vishnu in that enjoyment, arising from his sarup. She never leaves him. Thus, it is said that she is most dear and obedient. Hayashirsha Pancharatra says, Lakshmi does not exist without Vishnu, and Vishnu does not exist without Lakshmi. Vishnu Purana says, Lakshmi, mother of the universe, is eternal and never leaves Vishnu. Bhagavan Shambhu is the expansion of Swayam Rupa Krishna. He is called the Linga, or representation of Krishna. Vishvakosha says Linga means a sign or inference. Bhagavan refers to the Lord of Vaikuntha, endowed with the six powers. Shambhu means he who creates good fortune. Appearing as Sankarsana in the second Vyuha, he creates the bodies for the Jivas who were previously merged in Prakriti. Thus he is called Shambhu. His form is knowledge or consciousness, Jyoti Rupa. By Shambhu being under Krishna's control, being his linga, Krishna's position as Swayam Rupa can be understood, just as one can understand a bull by seeing his distinctive dulap. Because Krishna is the Swayam Rupa with Shambhu, Mahavishnu, as his vilas form, Shambhu is called linga or his representative. She, who is the material cause consisting of Mahatattva and other elements, is called the inferior Shakti, matter made of three gunas. Mahatattva is the result of Krishna's Amsa, Shankarsana, Mahavishnu, desiring to glance upon Maya. Mahatattva is Prakriti endowed with the unlimited Jivas. The offspring of Maya, bodies of the jivas, arise from the combination of the glands of Sankarshan, who is called Linga, and Maya, Yoni. Though the offspring is said to belong to Prakriti, this is a secondary meaning, since she is dependent on Sankarshana for the creation of bodies. The next verse explains this. The Purusha, possessor of Shakti or Maya, the expansion of Krishna is called Maheshwara. The great Lord, Sankarshana appeared as the controller of Prakriti, given charge by Krishna. Because we see is that Shiva worships Sankarshana as his source. So, and you see that you have those aspects of, it's just the amount, like Balaram. We don't see it as much as Balaram, a little bit. But Balaram, and then Nityananda, that Abhidhut element. So that Abhidhut element you see more in is manifest as Shiva. And just so we say, when you emphasize one thing, then you get a different personality. And then that aspect, that realm manifests supporting that. You know, just like the element of opulence is the greatest in Vaikuntha, by mood. Right? But it's not necessarily that the greatest manifestation of opulence is there. Right? Dwarka, there's more opulence, but the mood of opulence is less. It's also still mixed with that sweetness. Right? But in Vrindavan, the sweetness is the prominent, though it's the most opulent of all realms. You know? Does that make sense? So here, this aspect of dealing with the external energy is there. So the Lord comes as Mahavishnu. But that aspect of dealing with the material energy, that's Shambhu. So when he that's Shambhu when he's glancing. So it's, does that make sense? Same person, different moods. Yeah. Vishnu. Text 33. Vishnu is described in the third canto. Into the lotus of the worlds, impregnated with all the modes of material nature. Garbhadakshai Vishnu personally entered as the Supersoul. Kirodakshai. Into the lotus of the worlds, impregnated with all the modes of material nature, Garbhadakshai Vishnu personally entered as the Supersoul. Kirodakshai. Then the personality of Vedic wisdom, whom we call the self-born, Brahma, was generated from the lotus. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.8.15. This verse describes Vishnu who instigates Sattva-guna. Sa refers to Garbhadakshai Vishnu, or Prajumna. He entered the planets in the form of a lotus. This lotus was endowed with all enjoyable material objects. Vishnu does not have Ishwara and Jiva forms, like Brahma and Shiva. And thus, two forms are not mentioned here. Right. Yes, makes it that much easier. So this gives a clear indication that the first form is Ishwara, the Lord. The second form is the Jiva. So generally, the Ishwara, that where the Jiva form is, Ishwara will perform those functions. If there's a Jiva qualified, then the Jiva performs the function. You know, but if not, and it appears very rarely, then the jiva form is in that capacity of the what would be the duties of Ishwara. But from what I remember, it was saying is that when that's being performed, when the one is being performed, the jiva becomes absorbed into the Lord. Right, and so then he doesn't have the functions, but he has the facilities. Because you were asking about the enjoyment aspect. You know. He's still a nice guy. You know.
What I don't understand is that when they talk about creation, it starts with Satya Yuga, usually. And the Jivas are quite pious. Let's say very pious. It still, it is said that when there is no qualified Jiva, then the Lord has to take the position himself.
Because you have to be more qualified than that. See, because in Satya Yuga you have all the people here, but you still have above them the demigods.
above them the sages and Prajapatis, and above them Brahma. Does that make sense? Yeah. So these four yugas, then you can see their main effect is here. But it's not that the demigods it adjust their lifespan and stuff like that. You know, like here is 100,000 years, 10,000, 1,000, 100. But with the demigods, that's just all in part of their day. Does that make sense? So, because here, if it's Satya Yuga, people are doing things properly, things will be going nicely in the rest of the universe. In Kali Yuga, people are doing the sacrifices, and then that, it'll be a little rougher. But it's a shorter time. You understand? So, on these higher, then you're talking about kalpas, and, you know, days of Brahma. So in this day of Brahma, then someone was qualified, or this one is not. Or kalpa, meaning just that manifestation where this Brahma is there, his lifetime.
Kali Yuga effect affects the quality of life throughout the whole universe?
From what I understand, it does, but it'll be less, you know, as you go out, it'll be less. But it does have, because just like if people are performing the yajnas here and giving the oblations to the demigods, and they have those benefits. But if they're not, then they don't. So it would appear that, you know, it must be some kind of breakdown, but because in a lifetime of, let's say, Indra, then there'll be 72 cycles of the Mahayugas. So then that means that aspect. Was it 24, 48? What's after 48? 72. Yeah. So basically, how was I starting the calculation? So it means basically, getting down into, because it's not equal proportions. It's not equal proportions. I'm just thinking that we'd have 72, so that means it would be a third of the day, so 8 hours. How am I approaching this? This is not working out. Because it means they have their lifetime, but their lifetime's 100 years. That's where the problem comes. So in their 100 years, that's divided by 72. You know, so then that means a little bit more than a year is one kalpa. And so within that, then a tenth of that. You know, so it's a little more than a year, so like a little bit more than a month. So probably maybe it's a mandala or something. 41 days will be a Kali Yuga, and then there'll be two of those would be like this, and then three, then four. So most of the time, this will be Tri-Yuga for them. But within a little over one of their years, then you would have part of that would be the Kali-Yuga. You know, so then, you know.
It's a bad year.
You know, it's just like in, how you say, you know, Northern Europe, that, you know, you end up eating whatever you can, you know, cabbages and potatoes you can store underground.
You know. Pickles.
Huh? Pickles. Pickles, yeah, and stuff like that. I'm not saying that they end up, but, you know, there's the principle is there. So, you know, so this idea that, no, we go to the heavenly planets, everything's perfect and wonderful all the time, that's the advertisement. You know, have you ever seen advertisements in Calcutta?
Oh, City of Joy.
City of Joy.
Yeah, but I'm saying, yes, City of Joy. But you see pictures, you know, Victoria Memorial, the park, and, you know, I'm not sure what else they show. That's about all I've ever seen.
Howard Bridge.
Howard Bridge, okay.
Yeah, Eden Gardens.
Eden Gardens. Okay. Yeah, one or two, but is that Calcutta? No.
Huh? Calcutta train station.
They show that in the pictures?
No.
No, okay.
That's the real issue.
That's okay. Yeah. Yeah. So the same way the heavenly planets, they have all those aspects and be more predominant, but it doesn't mean that there's not all the bad qualities that disturb us here. Well, look at it this way. Okay, you have, let's say, somebody has the Tata Sumo and somebody has a Scorpio, right? And so there's a little bit of jealousy there, okay? Now, what happens if, you know, you have a Rolls Royce and they have a Bentley? You understand? It's the same.
Jealousy.
Yeah, all it is more sophisticated, so. You know what I'm saying? You have a solid gold, you know, airplane, but they have a solid crystal airplane. You understand? Yeah. So it's the same thing.
Just the idea.
Yeah. So that's why it's said it's an illusion. We have this idea, if you go to the heavenly planets, it'll be great. You know, or you go to Brahman, you know, you'll be there, you know, eternally happy and this and that. It's just like, you know, if you're outside and it's, you know, 50 degrees outside, you come into the house and the AC is on, there are those few moments where you go, wow, this is great, you know? But as soon as you cool down, then you're bored. And how long does that last? It's only a matter of, it's just moments. So that's the same. Brahman, you'll be there that long and then you come back. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole point, is there is nothing here. You know, we have the idea that there's something here, but there is nothing here. You know, what's here is Krishna. And then the point is since it's Krishna, the person is different from the thing. We're thinking it's the object. We'll say, oh, but it's Krishna, it's all right. But the part that we're saying it's all right is the part that's not Krishna. You know? That's the point. The experience. So therefore, if you're getting that experience from this external, being manifest through this external form, how much that will be restricted? So what will be the experience if it's through Krishna's original form, unrestricted? Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just like when they observe the, let's say, the eclipse or something. You know, you can hold up this really heavy, dark glass and like that, and then you get a little bit of a glint, enough that won't bother you. So, but what is coming through that glass? Right? It's the power of the sun. So then, if you know, one's finding that very nice, but it's not the glass, it's the light of the sun. But we think it's the glass. So, what the scripture is saying, if you think that's great, since it's Krishna, then what will it be like directly? So much more powerful. Did I say something? No. Text 34. He who is called Vishnu is Kirudakshai Vishnu. He is Kirudakshai. He is the Vilas form of Gabardakshai, and is praised by the best of sages as Narayana, Virat, universal form, and Antaryami, soul within. So he's also universal form, and universal, and he's spread it everywhere, he's in everything. He's the one authorizing everything to happen. Right? And he's Antaryami, because he's soul within, so he's in every living entity. What is he called when he entered the lotus, the Garbhodakshai, or Pajumna, with 1,000 heads? Becoming Aniruddha with 4 arms, he enters the lotus of the worlds and lies down on the milk ocean. Thus he is called Kirudakshai. Why is the protector of the jivas in the world also called Narayana? Narayana refers to the shelter of Nara, or one who is the shelter of all tattvas. Thus it refers to Karanadakshai or Garbhadakshai. However, Kirudakshai is the vilas form of Garbhadakshai. He is thus non-different from them and can also be called Narayana. We'll come across this Prajumna, a thousand heads, Garbhadakshaya, this form. He sits with Lord Brahma. So in Brahma Loka, then he's there with him. Like that. So that's his deity. Because he's the form in which all the varieties of everything is created from, all the forms of heads and arms and legs that Brahma creates with is that Vishnu. So that's his deity. Like that. So we'll see that when we come across. Yes.
Maharaj, so one of the meanings of studying the scriptures is to convince ourselves that there is nothing in this material world and
nothing except Krishna.
And understand how to get out of it.
Means that aspect is there, but how you're going to do it to understand there's only Krishna, and then what is the alternative? What's the natural position?
Does that make sense? Natural position, me as a servant to God.
Yes, means with the Lord in his pastimes. Mm. That's the natural position. This is not natural, so that's why we have to get out of this. But it's not that getting out of this is perfection. It's getting into the spiritual world. You have to get out of the material world to get into the spiritual world.
Okay.
You understand?
Yes.
And you have to understand there's nothing in the material energy that it's all Krishna. You understand? So you have to get both parts of the equation. If you only get half, it's not enough. It's a start, but it's not enough. Right, because if we just like there's nothing here, and so getting out of here is the point. But then, where are we going, and why would we be going there? Right, because if there's nothing here, why would we go somewhere else? You know what I'm saying?
So then we understand that nothing is here, but except Krishna, and then.
Means the point is whatever here that was interesting to us is actually Krishna. We mistake it as the material, that the material energy is attractive, but it's Krishna who's attractive.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Text 35. Now the abodes where Vishnu appears within the universe will be described in brief according to scriptures such as Vishnu Dharmotra. The great powers of Kiradakshaya within the universe will be described. Text 36 and 37. Above Shiva's abode is Vishnu's abode, unattainable by all people. It is incomparable and measures 50,000 yojans. Beyond this, Vishnu Loka, east of Meru, is the center of the salt ocean. In the center of the salt ocean lies the great planet of Vishnu, situated in the water, where Brahma sometimes goes. Brahmananda may be analyzed as Brahma Anta, where Brahma goes. Where's his footnote? Oh, there it is. It's a quotation. One of those double quotations. The shell of the universe is called Brahmananda because even Lord Brahma travels, Amyate, there to see its beauty.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So what could be surrounded with? Milk ocean?
Yes.
Ocean of salt?
No, but in the middle of that. It doesn't... You're talking about a planet. And
oh, okay.
No, because it says 50,000 yojanas.
It doesn't say much
to me.
Except for 50,000.
Well, 50,000 times 8 would be?
400,000.
So 400,000 miles. This one's 25,000 that we know of around. So that means through. It'll only be about 8,000. So this, it's a bit bigger. You know, we're just kind of a little bump on. I don't know. I've seen it a few times. So you have, you may have had what do you call it? Those political cartoon guys. They have something going on here. This whole thing going on the earth. This big, big thing. People trying to control and all that. And then somehow or another, it pulls back. And then the earth is just sitting on somebody's head. You know, this kind of dumpy guy sitting in his chair, reading his newspaper. And his wife, she has a fly swatter. You know, she says, "Hold still, I'll get it." You know.
There's a whole cartoon about it.
Huh?
There's a whole cartoon about it.
Yes. Left over from previous samskara.
And another thing, Lord Shiva's abode is unattainable. I mean, above Shiva's abode, Vishnu's abode is unattainable. What about Shiva's abode? They can go there? Everybody?
Not necessarily. So maybe some people, because you see Narad Muni and the four Kumaras, they sit with Shiva. Mm-hmm. Like that. There's also, I think, when it's describing the Bhumandala, then under one of the trees, Shiva's sitting, isn't it? On one of the islands?
It's in the center of Jungle Group.
So it's the tree that's on this one?
I believe so.
Yeah. There's a banyan tree. It's what, 800 miles tall and 600 wide or something. You know, so you know, it's a little bigger than what we're generally used to. Yeah, I think, how big is Everest? It's like 5 miles.
8,000 meters.
Hmm?
Yeah.
It's more than 8.
Huh?
No, Everest is higher than 8,000.
Yeah, it's tall, but it's above 8,000 meters.
Meters, but what would it be in miles?
It's far.
5 8 kilometers.
5 something.
Yeah, yeah.
So here he's sitting under a tree that's 800 miles. Right. So in other words, like, that would be 1,200 kilometers tall. So nice and cool. Doesn't get hot in the summertime. Like that. So we're dealing with things way beyond. So at this point, we don't want to get. The idea is to understand enough to focus on the Lord and understand our position in the material world is not actually the ideal, but not so much that we become bewildered. In other words, these other facts and figures are only in important as much as we're able to digest them. Otherwise, they're not actually that important. That's why then we see in Krishna Samhita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if somebody comes across one of these facts that they can't digest, then he has these little one-liners to just throw them off of it. You know, that's the whole idea. If someone says, "Oh, what about this? That tree," it just means it's a big tree. You know, you don't get into anything else. We're not saying that it's any smaller than that, but by the way I say it, it appears that don't worry about that. It's just a big tree. You know, get into what he's, you know, what you're talking about. That's the important thing. And then immediately people drop it. That's the trick. But he hasn't in any way gone against the Shastra, but he's given ways to talk to people who can't digest the facts of the Shastra so that they become, they again focus on what's appropriate. But you haven't said, "Oh, that's an exaggeration," or they never say that. That's atheistic. You know, they say, "Oh, that's just an analogy," like that. That's atheism. But so, therefore, he gives these lines very specific. Like when they say, "What about all the hells and all that?" And he says, "Oh, that's imagination." Because when you go to hell, you go in a subtle body. You don't have a gross body. So it's all on the platform of mind that you suffer. So the hellish experience is happening on that platform. But it's not like you're just sitting there and imagining it. You're actually going through it because they cover your subtle body, which is mind. And now they can take your mind and throw it off a mountain, you know, and you break into little pieces, and then they come pick you, put you back together, and drag you back up to the top again. You know, it's a special covering.
Like in a dream.
But it's real. It's actually happening. But all it's, what it does is it gives the connotation that it's a dream or it's just imagined, but it's actually real. But the point is Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants to speak to this group of people, and they're going to get distracted by this. So they don't want to hear from another, you know, how you say, rah-rah, you know, Vedic kind of personality, because they're, you know, in their minds, they're very logical, you know, educated, you know, Christian gentleman, you know, so, you know, we don't want any of this kind of other stuff. So he opens with this just so that they understand they'll think he's not one of those. They don't understand he's the best of one of those. He's so good that they didn't even catch that he got them talking about the actual essence by sidelining. Does that make sense? So that's the important thing in our life, that we don't get distracted by that. Otherwise, then we'll have trouble. Because there's always something bigger than what we know about. You know? Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada did a similar thing. Devani was asking Prabhupada about, you know, this planet of the universe, this cosmological feature. And Prabhupada said, we're not interested in any of them, we just want to go back to Krishna.
Yeah. Because it's just there to show the glories of Krishna, the greatness of Krishna, like that. That's all it's for, and so that we understand that we're not actually that big, you know, like the reverse one of what Prabhupada did with CKG. You know? Yeah. Okay. 38 to 45. Janardana, accompanied by Lakshmi, sleeps on the bed of Sesha in the salt water at the end of the summer season. East of Meru, in the center of the Milk Ocean, there is another city of the Lord called Shubhra. There the Lord, along with Lakshmi, lies on Sesha, sleeping for the 4 months of the monsoon season. South of that place, in the Milk Ocean, is a most splendid island called Svetadvip, measuring 25,000 yojanas. And this is an island. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's 25 and 50. Okay. The men there shine like the sun and are as beautiful as the moon. Because of their effulgence, even the devatas find it hard to gaze upon them. O Yadava, Brahmananda Purana says, there is a place called Svetadvip, surrounded by the Milk Ocean. It is 100,000 yojanas in breadth, very pleasant and completely golden. Surrounded by the Milk Ocean, piled with spotless stones, the island is washed by the restless waves, which shine like the jasmine flower, the moon or the lotus. Moreover, in the Vishnu Purana and Mokshu Dharma, it is said, Svetadvip lies on the northern shore of the Milk Ocean. Other opinions on the location of Svetadvip are now given. It should be understood the location will differ in different kalpas. Footnote 33. During different kalpas, Lord Brahma places Svetadvip on different sides of the Milk Ocean. Thus, the various Puranas are not actually contradicting one another on this question. So it's interesting that they mentioned about the waves, the restless waves, because we sit there, and you can sit and watch the ocean come, you know, come in and crash on the beach and stuff like that. But now if it's milk, it has that little bit more thickness to it. And then the you know, in other words, and the foam on milk, you know, it's also, you know, has a pure look. You know, the salt one, then it's a little bit different. Nice, but it doesn't quite have the same. So you get that kind of thing, and then you have all the stones there, so it falls on that. They're white from, you know, so it would be good. So Lord picks a good ocean.
To vacation.
Yeah. Okay. Text 46 to 47. According to Padma Purana, Svetadvip is north of the ocean of sweet water. Because Vishnu distributes sattva, he is known as Sattvatanu. His avatars are also known as Sattvatanu for this reason. Or Sattvatanu can mean that the Lord resides in those who have Sattvaguna, bodies in the material world. Quote, it has been said that Vishnu is Sattvatanu.
having a body of sattva, does that mean he has a body made of material sattva guna? If that were so, worshipping him would not give liberation. It is said, quote, the acharyas acknowledge and teach that God is the object of meditation, end quote. Vedanta Sutras 413. This means that worship of the Supreme should yield liberation. The present verse explains the meaning of sattvatanu. Vishnu is called sattvatanu because he distributes sattva guna. The avatars of Kiradaksha Vishnu are also called sattvatanu because they also distribute sattva guna. Or it can mean that a sattva guna body is the Lord's place of appearance in the material world. Sattvam yad brahma darshanam. Through sattva, one can realize Brahman. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.24. Right, so either he's distributing sattva guna, or he's appearing in those who are situated in sattva guna. Means the Lord is in everybody's heart, but those in sattva guna then can appreciate. Mm. Like that. The present... Oh, we just read that. When the heart becomes pure and peaceful in sattva, the Lord reveals himself there through knowledge arising from such purity. Thus that sattva body is his abode. His spiritual abode, however, is Vaikuntha. Text 48-49. Thus it is proved in all scriptures that Vishnu is completely beyond the material gunas. It says in the 10th canto, Lord Hari, however, has no connection with material modes. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-seeing eternal witness, who is transcendental to material nature. One who worships him becomes similarly freed from the material modes. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.5. Vishnu is beyond the gunas because he activates sattva by his will alone. It is clearly evident because he is not covered by all the gunas, whereas others like Brahma are covered by the gunas. This is because he is superior to property. By his own will, he accepts dealing with the gunas, but this is not the case with others. He sees everyone, having knowledge by which to award liberation. He is the witness, seeing all the liberated souls at close range. He is attained by liberated souls. Others, such as Brahma, are rejected by the liberated souls as their goal. Therefore, by worshipping him, one also becomes free from the gunas. The Shruti says, quote, the pure person attains a nature similar to the Supreme Lord's. Mundaka Upanishad 3.13.
A lot.
Seriously, a lot of dusses. I thought there was one, and then there was for a couple of pages. Then he has dust, and. Oh, that's clever. Well, and then that ends that chapter. So this is the conclusion. Yes.
What does it mean when it says when your heart is pure and peaceful?
It means you're asking. Means what is the context in which you are. Pure meaning that as absorbed in the Lord, peaceful, that there's nothing in the material world to gain.
But it says, when the heart is pure and peaceful, the Lord resides there. So
it resides being in this context of being able to be appreciated or seen. Does that make sense? It means he's always there, but you don't see him.
Yeah.
But someone who's situated in the sattva, meditating on the Lord, so it's only absorbed in him and not absorbed in the material energy, then they see him alone. So then he resides there. Then it's his residence. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you have the office and you have home. So when you talk about residence, it means the home. So as Paramatma in the heart, dealing with all the wanderings of the living entities, that's the office. But if someone's meditating upon him in devotion, then that's home. Does that make sense? Okay?
Om Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki.
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaurav.